This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Junior prom,
July.
Like a firecracker, I'm aglow.
August.
When you're on the beach, you steal the show. Yeah, yeah, my heart's in a whirl. I love, I love, I love my little calendar girl every day.
Every day,
every day,
every day
of the year.
Oh, yeah. Remember Calendar Girl, Neil Sedaka? I love that song. Good time for it, too, in March, in spring. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, I think, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, March the 23rd, rolling along. In a few minutes, Patty Jane Geller of the Heritage Foundation is going to be with us. We're going to talk about how it might be time to reconsider our nuclear arsenal, our ability, our capability with nuclear weapons in the United States. Are we really in a position to intimidate both Russia and China with our defense? We're going to talk about that. So that's an important topic. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has issued a proclamation saluting the runner-up in the NCAA women's 500-yard freestyle event. Instead of transgender first place finisher Leah Thomas. Wow, we're going to get some thoughts on that, among other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show. His name is Andrew Ceresi. Good old Andrew. Stay tuned for that. And we dust off Wilbur the Duck, another edition of Campus Quackery. We go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and the Eau Claire School District. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our Ultimate Top 10, we have the new, brand new J.D. Power's Top 10 Most Dependable Vehicles. Find out if Ed is driving one of them. Top 10 Most Dependable Vehicles. By the way,
you got some of those new electric vehicles on there?
Oh, that's a good... I'm not going to tell you.
They're going like hotcakes, you know.
Yeah, they are selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, I was in downtown...
Hotcakes that were baked about 25 years ago.
I was in downtown Dunedin this weekend, and they were all over the place, those electronic vehicles. Except down there, they call them... They call them golf carts down there. It's the same thing. You play with them all day, and you go home, plug them at night, and next day.
You ever seen a golf cart on Interstate 75? Now, that would be something to see. Guy could say, this is an electric vehicle.
Well, have you seen some of these? They're all jacked up and stuff, and they got big tires on them, and big stereos and lights all over them. And, you know?
What's that place near Orlando?
We got electric vehicles. Leave us alone.
You know where there are probably more electric vehicles than gas vehicles? That huge retirement center near Orlando.
The
Villages.
Yeah, the Villages.
I bet they got more electric vehicles there than they got gas vehicles.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, very interesting. So we're going to talk about a lot of things today. One of the things, Joe Biden, by the way, I don't know if he knows where he's going, but they have put him on a jet. He's on a jet plane, and he's going to Europe. He's going to go to Brussels, and he may go to Poland.
You think they tag him like a piece of luggage?
Yeah, I think...
to make sure. Hello.
You know, I thought...
You get the thing. Hello, my name's Joe. I'm going to...
I'd kind of like to see him going around the carousel. That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? So he's going to Brussels. Special NATO summit in Belgium. You know, it's not like he rushed over there. It's not like he rushed over there, right? Can you imagine... First of all, I don't think the war would have even started in the Ukraine if Donald Trump were president. But let's assume it did. I think Trump would have been so quickly out and about meeting with people. You know, he wouldn't waste any time. That's my feeling, at least. Anyway, the trip comes after Biden said there will be, quote, new world order, unquote, new world order that must be led by the United States. They shouldn't say the term new world order. It's a bad phrase. A lot of people have been talking about the so-called new world order in a negative light for many, many years. That goes back to the days of George H.W. Bush, the new world order. So during the summit, Biden will discuss the ongoing deterrence and defense efforts in response to Russia's attack on the Ukraine. This is the White House official statement, as well as to reaffirm our ironclad commitment to our NATO allies. You know, there was a time when everybody would await the president in some conflict like this to show up. I'm not so sure that everybody is waiting for Joe Biden to show up. In other words, I think we've kind of lost our first place card, you know, at the table. I'm not so sure as far as NATO countries go.
That new world order, isn't that a term from like Star Wars or something? The Emperor, the new world order.
It might have been. Actually, you know, the term, yes. In fact, maybe that's where it originally came from. But I was just saying that when I worked for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce years ago, somebody brought it up to me while I was talking with them, and I said, what? You know, and the person said, well, George H.W. Bush at the time, George Bush is really behind this new world order. It was kind of a paranoia about George Bush and that he really wanted, rather than the United States, you know what I mean, as the leading, to be leading, that we were going to kind of do this, the new world order. So that's, and it was kind of treated as a negative thing back then. So anyway, Biden brings up the term new world order. Following his meeting in Brussels, I wonder if he's going to have any Brussels sprouts. And I wonder if they really care about Brussels sprouts in that part of Belgium. But anyway, let's see, where was I? After he meets in Brussels with the NATO allies and the G7, that's the Global 7, used to be the Global 8, but they got rid of Russia some years ago on that, and European Union leaders, the EU, Biden goes to Warsaw, Poland.
Well, wasn't Kamala just there?
I hope she's still there. Is there a way we can trade?
Wait a minute, she was just in Poland, remember? When she laughed about the refugees and stuff?
Yeah.
If we were there, why are we spending more gas to go back out there again? Can we do a Zoom call?
Can we trade her for one of our prisoners that Russia is holding right now, I wonder? How about that? We need the basketball player, Greta Grisney or something. Mm. You know who I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Where am I? Biden warned on Monday that the world is at an inflection point. He said one that occurs every three or four generations. Well, doggone it, why did he have to be in the White House when the next inflection point occurred? I don't know. What's he going to say over there that's going to be of any interest and any help, you know? If he had anything important to say, he would have said it here. He wouldn't wait to get over there. You know, time is of the essence. Every day we wake up, there's more of Ukraine gone, more people dead over there. All right, let's do this. Let us take our break, and we're going to find out. We're going to talk with Patty Jane Geller of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about maybe we ought to rethink just how strong and intimidating we are with our nuclear capabilities.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors. From political to financial and health to wealth, it's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your hosts, political commentator Tim Rice and financial expert Berkeley Badger, will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Wednesday. We thank you very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have Patty Jane Geller join us. She is a policy analyst for nuclear deterrence and missile defense at the Heritage Foundation. And she has a piece, I think, in the Hill. It's time to reconsider our nuclear forces, and we're going to talk with her a little bit about whether or not we're really ready now that we've got really two big threats: China and Russia. Patty Jane, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking about this important issue.
Yeah, it's very important. You say the U.S. cannot risk a deterrence posture that enables it to defeat only one nuclear adversary. And there was a time, of course, when we only worried about Russia, you know, the Cold War and all that. And Russia, ever since World War II, we've been worried about Russia and its nuclear capabilities. And then along came China. Are we really prepared? Do we intimidate anybody else anymore these days with our nuclear strike force?
Great question. I don't think we're prepared. So our nuclear force posture, as it is now, it was designed back in 2010, and that was when Russia was actually considered to no longer be an adversary. China didn't have many nuclear weapons, so the number of nuclear weapons we have now is to deter Russia, as it was back then, and that's all. Not only has Russia been increasing its arsenal of nuclear weapons, but we have the rise of China, too. China is rapidly building hundreds of new nuclear weapons that will make it pretty much equal to the United States and Russia within just a few years. And quite simply, we don't have the nuclear forces that are going to be ready to deter two nuclear threats at the same time. We used to have, China has historically only had a very small number of nuclear weapons, a minimal deterrent posture is what we call it. And we had enough left over in our own stockpile to deter China at the same time as Russia. But now that's just no longer going to be the case anymore.
Wow. I remember the debates between them at the time, President Obama and George Romney, when Obama was running for a second term. And he brought up the fact that Russia was no longer, Romney brought up the fact that Russia was the one to be worried about. And I remember Obama kind of dismissed it at the time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I mean, let's be honest, everybody in the back of their mind is worried about a nuclear war with Putin.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, one of Obama's policy documents that came out in 2010, its nuclear posture review, stated the U.S. and Russia are no longer adversaries. The Obama administration really wanted to believe that we were resetting our relations with Russia. You know, things were going to get better since the Cold War. But that kind of ignored the writing on the wall. Just a few years later, 2014, Russia invaded Ukraine for the first time. We still didn't take much action after that, and now Russia invaded Ukraine for the second time.
Yeah.
We're worrying about nuclear weapons.
You know, we were talking before you came on the air about this situation. Obama, they take Crimea. Biden, they're trying to take the rest of Ukraine. Trump in between, nothing. And I'm wondering.
Yep.
I'm wondering. I mean, you just got to believe or wonder. I think they were somewhat intimidated by Trump. I say they. What's his head over there? Putin. You know? And now everybody's kind of moving. We're even worried about China taking Taiwan.
Yeah, I agree. It was actually, so the last four administrations, the Trump administration was the only one in which Russia did not invade a sovereign country. Under the Bush administration, Russia invaded Georgia. Obama administration, Ukraine. Trump, nothing. Now, Biden, Ukraine again. And, you know, say what you will, but I agree with you that President Trump's policies were of strength. We were investing in our national defense. We were investing in our nuclear force posture. And we were projecting our power and our strength on the world stage. And I do think that made a difference in Putin's assessment. You know, he sees President Biden, he's considering cutting nuclear weapons programs, cutting defense spending. You know, that sends a message to world leaders around the world.
You know, I just think of the group of people, and then a lot of them were the same ones that Obama had, that Biden brought in when he became president. Kind of the same old group came in, the Obama group, you know. And it's more of a laissez-faire or, you know, let's not worry too much about what's going on overseas. We'll worry more about what we're doing over here kind of thing. I don't know. They just, it just seems like they it's not a priority. It's even now, it seems like for the Democrats, this whole thing going on over there is not a priority. You know, Biden's finally showing up over there. I mean, my goodness. Every day we wake up, there's less Ukraine, you know, and fewer people in that country because of all the horrible things going on. Your thought?
Yeah, I agree. And the administration doesn't seem to be taking this seriously enough. And I'll tell you one example. So each new administration is required by law to publish its national security strategy. How we're going to defend the country, what are our priorities, our foreign policy priorities, national security, really important. And it's been over a year into this administration, and we don't have a national security strategy, but we have a climate strategy and
yes.
A gender strategy.
Exactly. Where are our priorities? So now, of course, you know, maybe we're getting the message, because even though it's way over there with the cost of gasoline and our shutting down our import of Russian oil and energy, and now Biden's going around trying to find a country that'll sell us more, and we're trying to say, come on, you know, we got lots of it here, let's open up things, you know, drill baby drill and all that kind of thing. It's such a such a royal mess. I've never seen anything, you know, we're laughing, but I've never seen anything so disturbing with what's going on. It seems like almost on every front, you know, we've got a major threat, a major war threat. We've got horrible inflation, gas prices, open southern borders. It's just, it's kind of a nightmare. I hate to be so negative. Do we see any light at the end of the tunnel, do you think, Patty, on any of this?
You know, I hope so. It seems to me that this administration and even the rest of the world is starting to wake up to the threat. You know, it's unfortunate that it took an invasion of Ukraine for this to happen. But we do see I'm hoping that Vladimir Putin is making the argument for us for why we need to increase our defense spending, take the threats around the world more seriously. So I'm hopeful that the threats around the world, we can't ignore them anymore. And I'd like to be optimistic that the Biden administration will step up to that plate, even if it takes more time. We already were seeing, as one positive example, Germany has committed to increasing its defense spending and rebuilding its military after like years and years of refusing to do so. So I'm going to hold on to that optimism for
Yeah, indeed. I've read somewhere where if you count up all of the nuclear weapons, that Russia actually has more than anybody. We come in second. And then maybe China or some other country. But there's a lot of countries that have nuclear weapons that we know of. Israel's got them. The UK's got them. There are other countries that have them as well. They're always like in your back pocket. We don't want to pull them out, but everybody knows that they are there. The only one that's been kind of reaching for them or rattling sabers is Russia. Russia has brought up the possibility. I believe here's a Putin spokesman. Yes, Dmitry Peskov refused yesterday to say his nation would not use nuclear weapons if it thought Russia could be destroyed. He said the conditions were consistent with the national security concept. I mean, just the fact that they're talking about it, you know?
Right, yeah, and here in America, we tend to believe that, you know, nuclear weapons are the most dangerous weapons. They're only used for deterrence. We will only use them if we absolutely have to. But then you see Russia, you know, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, that was an immoral, illegal war of choice. There is no threat being posed to Russia, and now you hear the Russian government making these nuclear threats and flexing its nuclear muscle. And it's ridiculous, I think, that there's no threat to Russia and they're using their nuclear weapons in this way. And that's just more of a reminder that, you know, even if we think this is, you know, crazy, there's no threat to Russia, we have to be prepared for anything and have the nuclear forces in the posture ready to deter, you know, even these kinds of threats that we wouldn't normally expect.
Right. We're talking with Patty Jane Geller. She is a policy analyst for nuclear deterrence and missile defense at the Heritage Foundation. Patty, I've just noticed that the U.S. Navy is apparently rushing to field its first hypersonic weapon with installation on a warship, starting as soon as late next year. It says here, lagging behind Russia in developing such weapons, the U.S. Navy is picking up the idea. You know much about that?
I do, yeah. So both Russia and China are already have hypersonic weapons, and these hypersonic weapons are ones that can travel super fast, five times the speed of sound, and they can kind of maneuver through the atmosphere to avoid defenses and also even, you know, radars that can tell us that these missiles are coming in.
Oh, God.
Russia and China are also putting nuclear weapons on hypersonic missiles.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
Even more dangerous.
What a world. I mean, now we can't even knock them down out of the sky, apparently.
Right, right. We don't have good... They're very difficult to defend against. And the United States is working on developing hypersonic missiles, too, but we're behind. We're not going to have them for at least another couple of years. And this is another unfortunate incident where we had kind of twiddled our thumbs and thought we don't need to continue pursuing this technology, and now our adversaries did the opposite, and we're rushing to build hypersonic missiles as quickly as we can.
Yeah. Do you think, after all the years where we've not had any major war, and I mean, since we've had, you know, the Korean standoff, and we've had Vietnam, no question about that, but did we get a little bit, what's the word, you know, when you haven't had any real, you're worried about other things, you kind of let things go. We've let things go with our nuclear force, right? We've just kind of sat back and, I don't know, got kind of fat and happy.
Yeah, we have been neglecting our nuclear forces, and we're actually still using the same nuclear weapons that we built during the Cold War. Actually, our ICBMs, our long-range nuclear missiles, those were designed in 1960, and we were supposed to retire them by 1980, but we've been squeezing the life out of them, and now we're rushing to try and replace them with modern technology as quickly as we can before they have to retire. And this was a mistake that was made, you know, reasonably. 9/11 happened. We got distracted with counterterrorism, but we seem to have forgotten that nuclear deterrence is still the number one issue for national security, because nuclear weapons pose the only existential threat to the United States.
Yeah.
I can only hope that now we're all waking up to the importance of nuclear deterrence and getting back on track.
Yeah, I think exactly. I was just thinking of that wake-up call. We got a wake-up call. Patty Jane, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I hope we talk again soon. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Yeah, this has been great. I'm glad to be on the show.
All right, Patty. Patty Jane Geller from the Heritage Foundation. Great interview. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he's issued a proclamation saluting the runner-up in the NCAA women's 500-yard freestyle swimming event. Now, guess who won that? That transgender woman, Leah Thomas. We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
That music, it's kind of calypso, very nice, Latin Caribbean. Well, speaking of water, I guess we were talking about water a little bit. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has gotten into the pool. He said he will issue a proclamation acknowledging that the runner-up in a recent NCAA women's 500-yard freestyle event is the winner. In other words, Emma Wyant. She's an Olympic medalist. She's a native of Florida. She's from the University of Virginia. She finished second and lost by 1.75 seconds to the transgender swimmer, Leah Thomas. So the governor said, we're going to be doing a proclamation saying that Emma is the best female swimmer in the 500-yard freestyle event. So we've got it. Andrew, the master barber, I just think this is a real slight to Leah Thomas. She won the event. Why doesn't she get some sort of a proclamation, Andrew?
Well, first of all, you're calling it a she, and it's not a she. It's still a he.
Okay. Well,
one mistake there.
It's, period. Okay.
Okay. Number two, I give Ron DeSantis 5 gold stars. For having the guts to stand up when none of these other politicians will and come out and say what common sense should be telling people.
Yeah.
The girl won the woman's meet, not the man. The man needs to go.
If I was Leah Thomas, I wouldn't want all of these negative press he or she is getting, you know? Every time.
Write a book.
Yeah, you're right.
Write a book when this is done. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's probably right.
How everybody was against me. He'll call it. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah.
This stuff has got to stop. A woman is a woman. A man is a man. And you know who couldn't answer that question yesterday?
Yeah, the woman running for the Supreme Court.
That's right. She couldn't give the definition of a woman. Okay?
Yeah.
What is wrong with these people? She did not say anything against critical race theory.
Oh, yeah. She's stuck under the table. We're talking about Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is Biden's nominee for the Supreme Court. Go ahead.
She is, let me tell you something, she is the weakest, most terrible, most rotten person they could even think of putting on the Supreme Court judge. But yet, you know what? She's a black woman, and that's what we got to have. That's a bunch of crap.
Tell us what you really think, Andrew, would you please? Of course. I mean, yes.
Okay. It's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
All right. And number three, you got this whole Biden administration. You know, you didn't realize how close we are until World War III until these people are going to come at us. You look at China. They've been building islands in the South China Sea, right?
Yes.
They got three of those islands all filled already with military material ready to go.
Yeah, it's almost like what Putin was doing around the Ukraine border. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have a woke army now. And what are we going to do with it? And then you got moron Biden yesterday saying there's a new world order out there and the United States has got a lead in this. Is this guy nuts?
I know, isn't that? We were just talking about that. I don't know if you heard us talk about it. New World Order is a negative phrase. You don't want to say that. That was back when George H.W. Bush was president. They were talking about how he might be part of a New World Order. Do you remember all that? And now Biden brings it up. What a nut.
But listen, you know, Paul, more and more truth is coming out about the 2020 election. I don't know if you keep up on it. I know you believe that the votes were counted properly. However, I don't. And I keep reading more and more every day. Maripoca County today coming out that they want a list.
In Arizona.
Names, okay, in Arizona. They want a signature list because there's 250,000 mail-in ballots that were processed where the signatures do not match.
Yeah.
Okay. This is coming out, Paul. This guy is an illegitimate president. This whole administration is illegitimate, and they're bringing this country down.
Yeah. This is, you know, we can go back and forth on whether or not it's illegitimate or not. There's no question there's voter fraud. There always is. And how much there was this.
Now.
We can go back and forth on that, but this brings us back to the whole concept of just going to the damn polls on the day of the election and voting and making sure that nobody, you know, your vote doesn't go through 15 pair of hands before it gets to the ballot box. I wish we would think about that. This mail-in voting thing scares me. It really does. You don't know. You don't know that anybody counted your vote. You don't even know if it got to the precinct.
Paul, I'll tell you what scares me is the whole Democrat Party. They are out to destroy this country. What do they think? Everything is going to be free for them? We're living with lollipops and unicorns here? No. Everybody's after this country right now. And you know what? We got the weakest moron this country ever could have put in there, and you had the weak politicians put him in, and the global elites, period.
Yeah, this is the wrong guy at the wrong time. This is the wrong guy at the wrong time for what's going on here. He has no... He doesn't have the capability. He's a mediocrity.
You know, let me tell you something. I was saying before that I think Ron DeSantis needs to wait to run for president and this. Let me tell you something. This guy has got it so together for this country, I think I'm almost seeing him ahead of Trump.
I'm telling you, I think Ron DeSantis would be a lot more... I think there'd be a better shot if he were running, to be quite honest with you.
I'm not worried about a shot, Paul, because I think I could run for president right now.
Yeah, probably right.
It doesn't matter who.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
I do.
I'd actually like to see the team of Trump DeSantis. I got news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? That's what we need. With these two power hitters behind this country, there would be no stopping the United States of America.
I take it.
What we got now, we got the drive handle in reverse, and we're going backwards. Totally backwards.
Yeah. There's no question about the incapable Joe Biden. There's no question. The guy's lost it. You know, all you have to do is watch him. I was watching him before he got on the helicopter to go over to Edwards Air Force Base and get on the plane. The guy's lost it. He can barely, he moves slowly, he responds slowly, he looks old, he's going to go over there. What kind of a PR thing is that for the United States? This is just an old doddering man. He's not, people are not taking our country seriously with him in the White House.
Well, you know, Paul, you're only blaming him. It is the whole Democrat administration that are behind him. Okay, it's not just him. It's all of them. It is all of them. They are the worst losing team I have ever seen in the world. They need to go. And any American that would vote for these morons are out of their minds. Yeah. What do they think they're giving them?
Right.
They're giving them nothing. They could care less about them. All they want is their vote and pacify them.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, who's the sponsor of our show. He's a great guy, and he always tells it like it is. Let's get on to Ketanji Brown Jackson. You brought her up a little bit earlier. Day three of her hearings before the Senate committee, she took a few questions about critical race theory and her softness on child pornography people, people that typically have gotten their hands on child pornography. And she has consistently given sentences to these people below the minimum suggested, I guess you could say, the government minimum suggested for that kind of a crime. Just want to get your thought on her.
Well, and then after she gave this one guy 20 years and she apologized to him, okay, he got caught with, I forgot how much fentanyl. He got 20 years in prison because that was what she had to give him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she apologized for the 20 years, saying that was too harsh, but she couldn't help him. And then 2 years later, reduced his sentence by 7.5 years. This woman shouldn't even be sitting there thinking about being confirmed. She should be thrown out. She should be thrown out of our complete judicial system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let alone the Supreme Court.
She's also been,
people are not capable.
She's also been linked to critical race theory. And she's been dodging that particular issue as well. And there's been a criticism of her not wanting to share her political philosophy. A lot of them that get up there before the Senate, want to duck a little bit. So that I can kind of understand. Go ahead.
Look what the Democrats put Kavanaugh through.
Oh, yeah.
Look what they put Amy Comey Barrett through.
Right.
This one's not going through nothing.
No, you're right.
Through nothing. I wonder why that is.
Because
you know why it is? I can tell you why.
Well,
it's called black privilege, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It is not right.
Well, if it was black privilege, the way they treated Clarence Thomas didn't apply. Do you remember that? Way back.
That was years ago.
That's true.
This is a whole nother world right now, Paul.
Yeah.
This stuff was all gone. Okay? This was all
Let's put it this way.
Barack Obama.
Let's put it this way. If you're not a conservative, I mean, if you're a conservative, you might as well get ready for the mud to be thrown at you. That's the way it was. Amy Coney Barrett was like
Why do the Republicans not throw the mud at her and bring it right out?
Well, I think because, be quite honest, I think in some ways they cherish the whole system of our government and treat it with more respect, if you want to know what I feel.
You know what, though, Paul? That's going to make them lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you're right.
Nice guys end up last.
No, I agree. There's something to what you say. However, let's be honest. She's replacing a liberal.
Yeah, it's a walk.
So it's going to be a walk. And Amy Coney Barrett should not have been subjected because she was replacing at that point somebody. They went after Neil Kavanaugh because that one was replacing a liberal. That was after the death of that female whose name escapes me now, but.
Ginsburg,
thank you. You know, they really, because you were replacing a liberal with a conservative. Here you're replacing a liberal with a liberal.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul. All these millennials, they better start practicing on their video games shooting. Because
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what, I believe there's a war coming to this country. And if we got to depend on these millennials to fight it, we're in trouble.
So they need to know how to handle their weapons, I take it.
I'm telling you, right now, I think everybody right out of high school needs to go serve 2 years in the military, minimum. I don't care if you're a male or a female, transgendered, homosexual, whatever. 2 years to your country.
Mm-hmm.
And prepare them for what's here, because they're not prepared for nothing.
I don't think our country's prepared for anything right now. We've let it go. It's like we let it go.
Well, yeah, we let it go in the last year because we didn't let it go when Trump was president.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump was president, you were proud to be American. The country was thriving. The economy was good. Gas was $1.50 a gallon. Plenty of food on the shelves. We had respect. What do we have now? Empty shelves, high gas, disrespect, weakness, and a country falling apart. All thank you to the Democrats.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't look good, and they can't alibi their way out of this. They cannot. Well, Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend, to talk with you. I wish that I wish things were a little bit more positive in the world right now, but you tell it like it is, and we always appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, you have a good day, guys.
All right.
Take care.
We'll see you Friday. There he goes, the master barber. He's upset. He's mad about a lot of things and where the Democrats are taking us right now. Can't blame him. Everything seems to be going south under this administration. Biden is just a walking disaster. That's what I'm beginning to worry about. I really am. Well, anyway, we are going to take our final break. When we come back, in another edition of Campus Quackery, we are going to travel to Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
We're back in Dade City. Your adventure begins at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. 8 stages of exciting and hilarious entertainment. Full contact, live armored jousting, mermaids, fairies, pirates, Vikings, and more. Endless shopping at more than 100 different artisan booths. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Family fun for all. Weekends, February 19th through April 3rd. Mark your calendars and get your tickets now at BayAreaRenFest.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, not Tuesday and Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, live, yeah, live and in color, here in the on the Tantalk Radio Network. However, if you are not able to listen to us live, you can listen to us, what is it you call it? It used to be called on tape, but you can listen to us on podcast. That's what you can do. Just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows on podcast, bless him. The most recent one at the top, and you'll see who the guest is and the top 10, the whole bit, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, a school district in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, has become the center of a parent-teacher firestorm after leaked documents revealed instructors told parents they must earn the right to know their children's sexual identity. And it showed the school pushed a heterosexual privilege checklist. Can you believe that? So if somehow the teacher at the school has an inclination that the student is not straight, I guess you could say, they're not allowed to, that parents must earn the right to know their children's sexual identity? What? I can't, first of all, the parents are not stupid. They probably can have an idea, right?
Let me take you back to the old days, maybe 30 years ago. That happens, your mom or dad goes down to the school and tells the teacher, mind your own business.
Yeah. Mind your own business, that's right. Well, the district's aggressive push for, quote, gender non-conforming accommodations. Ah, I love it. Gender non-conforming accommodations.
I mean, how does that call go, Paul? Do you call the kid's mother and father and say, listen, I wanted to let you know that Johnny over here seems a little light in the loafers.
Yeah, and by the way, Johnny always changes into a skirt when he comes to school. I just want you to know. I don't know how that would go. Anyway, So the district's aggressive push for gender nonconforming accommodations has irked parents and educators. Well, no kidding. They say the school's training and policy changes surrounding the issue have gone too far. Let's see here. Groups of parents expressed outrage at the notion that they had to earn access to their children's information. Here's what a training slideshow for the Eau Claire School District told school staff. Quote, "Remember, parents are not entitled to know their kids' identities. That knowledge must be earned." Unquote. What? Here is, let's see. "Parents in Eau Claire need to use every legal means." This is one of the, I guess, one of the parents. "Parents in Eau Claire need to use every legal means to fight back, including requests for documents under the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Act, requests for info on the curriculum, requests for teacher training materials." Well, you know, here's the thing, Ed. People, parents are becoming more involved with their kids again. So I guess there's good that comes out of it. People, you know, we've let things go to a certain extent, I think. That's my general concept. And parents, they don't show up at PTA meetings. So they just hope that the kids are getting a good education, you know. Now, not so much. Now they're a little bit more, you know, radar antenna up and all that kind of thing. Maybe that's good.
Well, I think some of it was being held under the, like you say, under the radar. Now it's coming out that this is part of the world now. We should be teaching this stuff, and parents are finally waking up.
Yeah, they're waking up to it.
Instead of saying, yeah, whatever it is, just send me a bill. Now they're actually getting involved in it.
Yeah.
You know.
Here's Eau Claire Area School District responding, clarifying their motivations. Quote, "In the Eau Claire Area School District, we have a responsibility to meet the needs of all students. As part of this work, district staff receive training focused on creating inclusive and welcoming spaces in our schools." This is where we start to go over the edge, when you start talking about stuff like that, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, just treat the kids like little kids, you know, when they come into your class. Teach them how to write. Teach them how to add. Teach them how to talk. Forget about the rest of the sexual identity stuff, you know. Forget it. All right. Before we get to our top 10, we have a good one, Ed. J.D. Powers updated the top 10 most dependable vehicles. I was watching the Lightning. Yes, the Lightning, I think they hadn't played in a while. But anyway, they went up to Carolina. It was a good game, but they lost it. Did you watch any of it at all?
You know, I haven't been watching them in the beginning of the season and throughout the midway part of the season. I just couldn't get into it. Then all of a sudden, they started getting in, and now they're starting to lose.
Yes.
So I'm thinking I'm going to go back to not watching them and let them go ahead and win.
Oh, it's your fault.
It is my fault.
I
truly believe it's my fault.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Every time I get locked in and say, you know, I don't want to watch the Lightning game today, I get disappointed. They lose, you know. So.
Well, I knew it was going to be a good game. Carolina's ahead of them in the standings.
Yeah.
They went to Carolina. Carolina's playing great hockey. It was close. It was only a one-goal win.
Yeah, but still, it's a loss.
Yeah.
And they've had quite a few of them in the last...
They have. They've lost to several games.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you see a pattern of doing something wrong?
You know, every team goes through its slump, and you want to get that slump out of the way before the playoffs starts.
Mm-hmm. So. They got some new players, too. They traded a few. Yeah. I don't remember the names, but they have traded a few. Okay, well, we'll keep that. Oh, how's baseball? I watched a little bit of an exhibition game. I think I saw they were in Port Charlotte playing.
Yeah.
So the Rays, we have high hopes for the Rays this season.
Yeah, not much to talk about in baseball preseason.
Not right.
I mean, it's just exhibition.
Everybody's kind of loosening up.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that we have reason to be somewhat optimistic for the Rays, right?
We do every year, believe it or not.
Hey, Jameis Winston got re-signed by the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Your buddy.
Good luck with that.
All right. He was a quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for those of you that don't know. And Ed was never high on him from the beginning. Okay, Ed, this is J.D. Power's 2022 study of the top 10 most dependable vehicles. I want to find out if yours is in here. And you also want to find out if there's any electric vehicles.
Yeah, see if them glorified golf carts are in there.
Exactly right. A Cushman golf cart, right? All right, here we go. Number 10. The Chevrolet. Would you believe a Chevy is a top 10 mm-hmm. most dependable vehicle? Now, by the way, all these vehicles, because they had to do all the testing and get owners time to fully assess dependability, these are 2019 vehicles. So it's not like you're going to be buying that particular vehicle right now, but they figure that maybe things will stay the same, I think.
I hope the Ford Pinto's not in there.
Oh, I had one. It was red, white, and blue.
I think we all did.
Yeah.
You know, we had the ultimate one, the green one.
And remember, you had to worry about somebody crashing into the back of it.
The green turd.
The green turd. Oh, my God. All right. So where are we? This was, by the way, on the Chevrolet. The industry average is 192 problems. Oh, no. Yes. The industry average of problems per 100 vehicles. The industry average is 192. Chevy's is 171. Okay? All right. Here we go. Number 9. Cadillac. Cadillac is number 9. 168 problems out of per 100 vehicles. Again, that's below the average number of problems per 100. Number 8, Dodge. I guess the trucks in particular. Do they make a car anymore?
Yeah.
Dodge?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember. I know they had the trucks. Anyway, 166 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 7, the Porsche. Ah, the great Porsche. Porsche is 162 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 6, Lexus. Yeah, Lexus is performing well. 159 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 5, Toyota. 158 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 4, I don't even know what this is. Genesis? Do you know what it is?
No.
Well, the Genesis is 155 problems per 100 vehicles. Anyway, number 3. This car used to be laughed at when it first came out from Korea. Hyundai. Hmm. It's number 3.
Hmm.
So they're very dependable. 148 problems per 100 vehicles. Number 2. Buick. The good old Buick. Buick, you know, I've noticed Buick is getting good marks these days.
Boy, in the old days, they made some big cars.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
I am old enough to remember there used to be three holes on the side, right on the right and left side of the car there near the headlights.
Yeah.
And that's how you would know it was a Buick, because it had those three little holes. Anyway, 147 problems per 100 vehicles. Okay, Ed. I know, I wouldn't know. Do you want to try and take a guess at what is the number one most dependable vehicle?
Let's go with Ford.
That's a good one. I would have possibly guessed that as well, but it's not.
Wow, they didn't make it.
They didn't make even the top 10. It's the Kia.
The Kia.
Isn't that a Korean vehicle?
I
think it is.
Not sure.
I'm not either.
Remember the guy who did a show after you from the Kia dealership?
Oh, yeah. Remember him. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still a dealership guy there. Okay, anyway, Kia, 145 problems per 100 vehicles. So there you go. I didn't see any electric-powered vehicles. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well.
Our buddies from The Voice of Boredom, that guy has his electric vehicle. It didn't make the list. All right. Thanks so much. We will be back on Friday. Be safe, everybody, and remember, freedom works.
Tonight we dance. I'll leave my life in your hands.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. President Biden on his way overseas as the U.S. and its allies try to ratchet up pressure on Russia.
As he departed Washington, the president was asked about the risk that Russia will use chemical or biological weapons in Ukraine.
I think it's a real threat.
Here in Brussels, Mr. Biden will announce new sanctions and measures to strengthen the restrictions that are already in place. Jake Sullivan is the president's national security advisor.
He feels very good about where things stand today in terms of the unity and resolve of the Western alliance on sanctions.
To underscore the gravity of these meetings, the president will sit here with NATO, EU, and G7 partners all ahead of a press conference. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Brussels.
A U.S. embassy official says Brittany Griner is in good condition after a one-on-one meeting with her today. The basketball star's detention in Russia was extended last week for another 2 months. At least two people were killed in the tornadoes that tore through the New Orleans area. There's damage to businesses, homes, and cars.
The car was parked in front of my house, and we didn't even notice that it was gone until I looked across the street, and my baby said, "Hey, Mom, Papa car is across the street." And I was like, oh my God, I just took my head.
There could be more stormy weather to the east today. Authorities in Oklahoma say the car in the fatal crash that killed six small-town teenage girls had seating for four. The 51-year-old driver of a semi was not hurt. The crash is under investigation. Now to Washington and Supreme Court confirmation hearings.
Opening day three of Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearing, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Dick Durbin accused Republicans of orchestrating bizarre attacks on her.
Your nomination turned out to be a testing ground for conspiracy theories and culture war theories.
Republicans have accused Jackson of being too soft on sentences for criminals, including sex offenders, as a judge, and raised concerns about her work defending Guantanamo Bay prisoners.
Although there is crime, we also have a society that ensures that people who have been accused of criminal behavior are treated fairly.
Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
Moderna says its COVID-19 vaccine works in babies, toddlers, and preschoolers. If regulators approve, the company says that could mean shots by summertime. After winning the Australian Open 2 months ago, the tennis future seemed nothing but bright for top-ranked Ash Barty. But at 25, on Instagram, she says she's retiring from the sport.
I'm so grateful to everything that tennis has given me. It's given me all of my dreams. The time is right now for me to step away and chase other dreams.
The Dow is down 240. This is CBS News.
There's always something new under the sun. CBS Mornings, weekdays on CBS.
With a couple of Rays pitchers banged up, Chris Mazza continued to make his case to make the opening day roster on Tuesday. Mazza threw 2 1/3 innings, allowing just 2 hits, and impressed manager Kevin Cash.
Mazza's thrown very well. We're all very excited about where he's at. Very crisp, a lot of strikes.
Meanwhile, outfielder Kevin Kiermaier made his first appearance of the spring and had an infield hit and 2 at-bats. Kiermaier had been delayed by upper back and neck tightness.
Felt good to be back out there, get the adrenaline going again, just the competitive juices flowing. You know, early in spring, it's just about getting your body under you and not trying to do too much. So I wasn't too amped up or anything like that.
Josh Lowe also impressed with a pair of hits. Tampa Bay will have Shane McClanahan make his first appearance on the mound this spring on Wednesday as the Rays take on the Braves in Northport. In addition, Brooks Raley will make his Rays debut. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
Catch the Rays all season on the Rays Radio Network. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Sun and Fun's Aerospace Expo is where it's at April 5th through the 10th. It's not just an air show. It's everything aviation in 2022, and you don't want to miss it. Join fellow aviation enthusiasts as we watch mighty warbirds in flight, vintage bombers to modern fighter jets, world champion aerobatic performers, and our headlining act, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds.